You can't get yourself to the end game.
Yeah.
The finish line, your finish line, has to be designed by God, and He's the finisher of your finish line. But if you're not in to what He wants you to do, then you're going to fail. And you're going to feel that weakness is going to take you out. And the crisis of mental health today, the crisis of people committing suicide, the crisis of moral failure is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's an all-time high because people are weak, but they're not dependent on God to heal them, restore them, and get them to a healthy place.
Yeah. What I hear is in 2025, we can no longer...
Welcome to the Rock Live Podcast. How are you all doing today? We are so excited. I'm here with Pastor Dan. That was kind of corny, but I'm here with Pastor Joel. My name is Antonio, and we are so excited about our conversation today. How are you, Pastor Joel?
I'm doing well.
So I do want to ask, you are by no means a guest on the show. You've been on a couple times, and we're looking forward to have you on more. But for our listeners, viewers may or may not know, you are on staff here at The Rock, and you oversee our discipleship ministries and our restoration ministries, which are technically two separate ministries that you oversee. You have different volunteers that work in each of those ministries. But those also happen to be what I've seen in the church world, as we would call it, or the church at large, whether it be books or podcasts or videos, whatever it might be, discipleship, spiritual formation, mental health, restoration of heart seem to be really big buzzwords, or at least being at the forefront of what we see in Christianity right now, while you've been doing these ministries for 20 years. But when you see these at the forefront, now I know that doesn't validate your ministries. You don't look for that validation of man. But what are some exciting things going on that you see? Where are people at? What would encourage our
listeners?
Well, I'm
excited is that people are talking about it. The church is engaging in it. There's all kinds of research, actually, now that's come out that, and listen to this, 1% of the church disciples.
Right.
I mean, that 1%.
So 1 in 100 Christians is discipling people.
When it's a mandate of Jesus.
Right.
Actually, he left a list when he left this earth of what I want you to be doing. And on that list was discipleship. So we're not either reading the Bible or don't care what Jesus said, because he's coming back. So it excites me that people are engaged. Here at The Rock, we've been doing discipleship for a good number of years, and I'll say it this way so people do understand. We have SPT, Spiritual Personal Trainers. That's the front end.
Yeah.
That's when we have an altar call at every service. People raise their hands. They come up to the front, and we start engaging on their discipleship journey right from the get-go.
Right.
But there's a back-end discipleship process, and we call that Breaking Free. Breaking Free is more intensive. It's more... engaging in people's personal lives. Not that either or is better. It's just I'm glad that we have a front end and a back end.
It's another layer, right?
It's another layer because people are profoundly broken and they're not fixed overnight.
Right.
And what leads them to Jesus is a whole list of things, crisis, failure. Maybe they just felt prompted that I've never raised my hand or walked the aisle or have never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But in the back, when we start talking and engaging with them, we hear of all the crisis that's happening. And a lot of times pain brings people to Christ, so that's what's happening. But I'm glad that for years we've demonstrated a model of connection and engagement into this beautiful community called The Rock. And I'm glad we have a model to where people that are severely broken or abused, we have a model of that engagement of discipleship through Breaking Free. Because that's more driven personally. There's a teaching time, there's a mentor time, there's a phone call time. And we track thousands of hours a year of one-on-one discipleship. I think I did one time a quick calculation of our model, and we spent from 20,000 to 30,000 hours wow. of intense discipleship yeah. one-on-one. And when people tell me, well, where do we begin? And where's what model works? I say, just engage.
Right.
Start developing people. Start engaging in bringing people into a healthy community called the church and engaging them about their life. Yeah. That's what Jesus did.
Right.
He didn't sit down them and give them a Bible study. He gave them life.
Well, I think that's the difference model. Between the mental and heart, right? Because
that's right.
There is a difference what breaking free and the restoration process does between just knowledge, right? Because you could read a book on spiritual attributes for mental health or things like that, but what is different about breaking free is the community element, is the local church element, is mentorship, and which is, like you said, discipleship.
And it's actually the Holy Spirit communicating to the individual the pinpoint of their problem.
Right.
You know, because a lot of people have excuses of why they are what they are.
Yeah.
And they have a process in their mind mm-hmm. and they develop things about, well, my problem is.
Right.
You know, and those maybe are obvious, mm-hmm. but God knows the depths of the heart.
Right.
So in that breaking free process, it's the Holy Spirit that is revealing to heal
right.
these things.
Yeah.
And when he reveals to heal these things that God's up to something big in their life, they just don't know how to connect those dots. They don't know how to make that journey. So we look at generational stuff. We look at personal stuff. It's not therapeutic necessarily, although it has therapeutic principle. It's not 12-step. It's not a model of recovery, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's a unique model of just bringing people into community and let God speak to their heart and deal with them individually. And we kind of put boundaries and barriers on what that looks like, meaning the mentor is not a lifelong coach.
Yeah.
It's not a sponsor.
Yeah.
It's just an individual comes and says, hey, I know you have problems. I have problems. Let's sit down with Jesus and let him help us with our problems to break free.
Absolutely. I love it, Pastor Joel. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I know that there is constant discipleship, in other words, that you can find here at The Rock, and we're grateful to be a part of something like
there
that.
There is. And what excites me now is the launch of the new SBT material that Pastor Dan just finished. Which I have been saying for a long time, it's just not my job as the discipleship pastor to disciple people. Mm-hmm. It's everyone's job.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So once we bring this book to the forefront of the church, we're going to get everybody discipling somebody.
Come on, get ready, guys. Get ready. Look at the guy. Get ready. Tell them.
I'm excited about that because it's all our responsibility. Right. It's not Pastor Dan. It's not mm-hmm. Pastor Joel. It's not right. Pastor Antonio.
Yeah.
It's all the guys in the room that I'm not going to look at right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's all of us. You know, our mandate is to be forming people's lives in the image of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's our mandate. That's our passion. So when I got woken to this, it was God waking me up to something I'm still as passionate, if not more.
That's good.
Than I was called to do this 25 years ago. How do you remember? How do you maintain that passion, Pastor Joel? It's driven by the heart of Christ.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. He doesn't want people just to come to believe in him.
Yeah.
He wants to come and to be immersed in him.
Right.
To formulate and form their lives into the image of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Can we do that with people? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can we do that with neighbors? Absolutely. Friends, everybody. Everybody has a mandate to be discipled, and everybody should be discipled.
Yeah.
That's the bell that I'm ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Jesus comes back, I said this in a pastor's gathering, you know, I picture a chore list with your kids that you put on the refrigerator door, and you say vacuum the room, sweep, and then throw out the trash. And then when daddy comes home, he's going to see that checklist.
Yeah.
And if that list is not done, somebody's going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, I love it.
So Father God has put a checklist on this refrigerator door, and there's one of those checklists is the mandate of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
I've come you know, and I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And I'm calling you to preach the gospel to every mankind and baptize them and teach them and inform them in the discipleship model of who I am. I want people to look like me, mm-hmm. act like me, and become me.
Yeah.
So on that refrigerator door is a mandate that God's going to expect every one of us to have that checklist. If not, when the Father comes back, yeah. and he is, he's going to recompense and reconcile all things. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be a church found like in the book of Revelation,
right.
where we're indicted or judged, yeah. or the lampstand is removed because we didn't follow
yeah.
the model of what God wanted us to do and the checklist
so good.
Of being responsible.
Amen. Well, that's good, Pastor Joel. I want to segue a little bit into the next portion, which is, you know, it's not a full-on sermon rewind, but we are, again, are in part number three of a series here on our Sunday morning services with Pastor Dan, and we've been in this series on faith, and I don't know about you, it's been amazing. We had part number three this past week, but there was one, and we're not going to rewind the whole message, but there was a specific point that really stood out. I know you and I spoke off camera that really is just very impactful that we want to use as a trampoline into the rest of our conversation today. So we want to ask you to stick through as we get into this, because okay. one of the, and not that one point was better than another, but there was really just that, and it was his last point about weakness and where that comes from. So I know that you had some things that stood out. What were those moments?
Well, the point was faith accounts for our weakness. So for me, weakness gives us an opportunity for God to demonstrate his power.
Yeah.
When we see our weak points, then God could rise up to become what he is in us.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, without seeing those weak points, then we limit ourselves and we cover it up with pride or
right.
false humility or mm-hmm. all kinds of things. There's this quote that I read. It says, humility is not denying our strength, but being honest about our weakness.
That's good.
When we're honest that we need God or we need to depend or I don't know these things,
yeah.
then God jumps to attention to say, how can I help you, my son?
Right.
How can I help you, my child? Because I understand you have liabilities in this area,
yeah.
but I don't.
Right.
I'm limitless, and that's why Pastor Dan referenced faith. If you have the faith that God can show up in your weakness, he could shine.
Yeah.
But we have to be courageous enough to expose some of those weaknesses,
yeah.
to be able to say, I'm not good in this area, or right. I'm not feeling well in this
yeah.
area, or I'm not doing well in this area. When we take those issues to God and to each other, that's why James says, confess your sins one to another so you be healed. That confession comes when that statement is declared. I can't do this, but I know you can, God. I can't do this on my own. I don't have the brain capacity. I don't have the education. I don't have the money. I have all these limitations, but I know you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And because you don't, you have the power to succeed in me through my weakness. That's why Pastor Dan used this reference of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. He said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is perfected in weakness.
Mm-hmm.
How can God perfect
yeah.
himself in our weakness? Because that's where grace shines.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to get the job done, Pastor Jim's
yeah.
you know, definition, on our behalf when we can't do it.
Yeah.
So here's my question to everyone. Are you weak? Then it's the opportunity for God to shine.
Yeah.
But you have to be courageous enough to say, I can't.
Right.
And allow God to.
Well, I know that that's not the popular topic. You know, talking about weakness, those are really difficult for us as people, especially, you know, we want to consider ourselves as strong.
Right.
We want to lean into our abilities, not highlight our inabilities. So, but in the Bible, we see the contrary. One of the interesting things, though, that I found was that if you look at the attributes of successful people, regardless of the field, right? Maybe whatever field you like, whether in, maybe for us, it's preachers, ministers,
right.
Disciplers, men and women of God, even athletes. If the successful ones are good at identifying their weaknesses. They're good, instead of avoiding their weaknesses, they identify them so they can strengthen those weaknesses. Now, for us as believers, We identify our weaknesses, and we now look to God to strengthen us.
Well, yes, we look to God, because look at the scripture, Psalms 73:26. My flesh and my heart fail me, but God is strength. He's strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Right.
Even though my flesh can fail, God doesn't fail. That's where he abounds. And that's why Paul was saying, in my weakness, God is made strong. When I demonstrate God's power is when I'm not at my best, but mm-hmm. he is.
Right.
If I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If I believe that God is taking care of me and has everything, you know, available for me, and I have the faith to believe that, then I believe he can make up for my deficiencies
yeah.
or my places that aren't too strong
mm-hmm.
or motivate me to get stronger.
Right.
You know, and that motivation comes from the Holy Spirit in himself. So if we can do that, then we can reflect on how weak we could become, where God can show and shine, because God doesn't take second fiddle to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
What he does is, I've created you, and I know I've created you out of dust, and that's what we are.
Yeah.
But this God wants to shine through that dust and create something beautiful and magnificent for all people to see. Why? So we can praise the designer and the creator of us.
Yeah.
Because we come from him.
Yeah.
And if we come from him and we weren't able to kind of grow ourselves up into a mini God
mm-hmm.
and say, I'm God and yeah. I could overcome all things, because mm-hmm. we can't. The day we say that, something's going to hit us in the face and we are not going to shine right. anymore, or we're going to fail desperately. And God is going to say, are you ready for me to shine?
So if someone, you know, the Holy Spirit has revealed to them areas of weaknesses in their life, in their spiritual walk, or at work, in their family, how they lead, how they mother, how they are a coworker, whatever areas in their life that are weak, but they just kind of are stuck on that next step. Okay, how do I lean into God in that? You know, how do I, you know, like the scripture says, so you're strong in my weakness. What does that look like?
You know, I love the word of God, because it has all kinds of examples.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, okay, here's the text and you read that text and believe that text. I mean, Joseph boasted, you know, in what his ability to be able to dream and interpret, and that led to utter failure to him in prison
right.
from his brothers imprisoning him mm-hmm. because they got jealous.
Right.
Okay, but yet, even in the prison, he rose to the palace, because in that prison, he never left God. Right. He continued to depend on God,
yeah.
even though God enlightened him. As a matter of fact, raised him up to be a governor to save his own family that attempted to kill him and imprison him.
Yeah.
And he forgave them and released them. So Joseph, in his weakness, he found God's strength to become an amazing leader of God and a leader of his people, and actually to rescue Egypt from famine
mm-hmm.
because God gave him wisdom of how to give that to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
You know, he downloaded all these dreams to him and interpretation to be able to navigate all, you know. So let's bring it down. There's a lot of talk about our financial condition and how that's a liability on us, and you got to start saving up, or you got to start re-looking at your investments, because there's a crisis coming
mm-hmm.
and they bring fear on the people. And this fear backs them from faith, and all of a sudden they're not dependent on God, they're dependent on their own self, and they're either reshifting, not because God wanted them, because they're running from something mm-hmm. and not running to something.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to run to God and not from him.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer that since God knows everything and owns everything, then my best resource is him.
Yeah.
So when I'm operating in fear and not faith, I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some theologians have said that's where Joseph got himself in trouble, because he kind of said how good he was,
yeah.
you know, yeah. and it got him in trouble with all the people that weren't as good as him, you know. But Paul was another one. Peter's failings all over throughout the Bible. We see very, very, very open and very calculated moves by God to display very weak people.
Yeah.
That did some great things.
Yeah.
So here's my challenge to people online. Here's my challenge to you on this podcast. Are you weak? Then let God shine. Mm-hmm. Do you have deficiencies? Well, it's time to let God build those deficiencies to make you efficient in Him and depend on Him fully. Because I am convinced you can't get yourself to the end game.
Yeah.
The finish line, your finish line, has to be designed by God, and He's the finisher of your finish line. But if you're not in to what He wants you to do, then you're going to fail. And you're going to feel that weakness is going to take you out. And the crisis of mental health today, the crisis of people committing suicide, the crisis of moral failure is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's an all-time high because people are weak, but they're not dependent on God to heal them, restore them, and get them to a healthy place.
Yeah.
We have to attempt to move ourselves, Pastor Antonio, to a place to where God can now do something that we can't. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, then He's ready to shine and make a big move. But are we willing to risk?
Right.
Are we willing to risk to say, you know what? I'm mentally not well.
Right.
Are we willing to risk my family's falling apart?
Right.
Are we willing?
What I hear is in 2025, we can no longer hide our weakness. In 2025, we can no longer be too stubborn, too proud, too cool to not recognize areas in our life that are weak. And in fact, not only just not be aware of them ourselves, but share them with God and with other people.
Right? Yeah, because when we do that, we kick a fresh start to trust and depend on God.
Right.
I mean, we kind of like activate something in the spirit. We activate something within ourselves. Okay, it's time to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been running from it. I know I've been depending. I've depleted all my resource.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some say I've hit rock bottom, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for me to trust and depend on God.
Yeah.
So God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you with my children. I'm trusting you with my job, my financial condition. I'm trusting you with the ministry connections that I'm making. I'm trusting you with the things I'm putting my hand to that you're going to bless.
Yeah.
You're going to be a part of. I have to know that you're a part of this, because if it's me, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the fresh start. So are we willing to take that fresh look, fresh start, to assess our condition that we're not all that?
Mm-hmm.
And God is, and I have to push myself to the point to where I got to depend on you, God. These times of crisis, these times of failures, these times that I got to reconsider, that's where God does a redesign in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
He does a kickstart. So many people from the altar care room to Breaking Free come and tell me, it's when I got caught. It's when the gig was up. It's when I ran out of money. It's when I went bankrupt. It's when my wife looked at me and said, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
When my children were end up in the streets, Pastor, I cried out to God and He heard my cry.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a firm believer. We don't have to push it to that limit.
Yeah.
That God's dealing with all of us.
Yeah.
So let's not push God. Let's not push our limits. But let's just say, okay, God, this next season of my life is going to be a defining moment to have faith in you.
Yeah.
It's going to be a defining moment to say, from here on out, if I'm 30 years old, if I'm 20 years old, then I want you to take the next years of my life to be the most faith-filled years of my life to make greater impact on my life, my family, and my future. Then maybe we'll get to our personal promised land.
Yeah.
I am convinced from the book of Corinthians that there's going to be a loss and gain of rewards called the great white throne judgment.
Yeah.
It's not a prophetic podcast, but it means that literally people be missing things in that day because they could have and they never went there.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't let God do it.
Yeah.
They depended on themselves, their faculty. And I'm a firm believer also that if we are driven by God to do God's things, then God's voice has to be louder than ours.
Well, and to even the original point that we came from, you know, the series and the topic is on faith. So faith accounts for our weakness, meaning that we can take our witness, and it's not like we're stuck until we get this stuff in order, right? What I was encouraged by was that faith can do so the next point was faith for the impossible. So I can have faith in weakness. It'll account for my weakness. In other words, I don't have to be held back by my weaknesses. It doesn't disqualify me from moving forward with God. And so I'm going to lean into it and all the things that we've discussed today that you so eloquently brought up into our minds. Like, man, that is really good. Thank you for that, Pastor Joel. I think now I'm saying, okay, I have identified this weakness. I have faith even still. And then now I can believe for the impossible. Now I can have, and again, I think that's where Pastor Dan was really hitting home with these.
Yeah, because people that are good coaches and trainers, or maybe individuals that are good at their craft, they reverse. Mm-hmm. You know, they here's the goal. And in this, it's let's demonstrate our weakness because God could shine to get to the goal. Mm-hmm. You understand? The goal is that faith accounts for the impossible. So think of anything impossible that you can't do. That's the goal.
Yep.
Moses going into the promised land. You know, here God rescues this guy out of Egypt in bondage. And he says, the goal's over there. It's not land. It's getting you there to that land mm-hmm. that I promised.
Absolutely.
That's the goal. Can you believe me that you can get there? Mm-hmm. Moses said yes. The people said yes. And in Numbers, 14,000 of them died in the desert because they didn't think it could happen. Mm-hmm. They whined, they complained, they murmured, and they got disgruntled against Moses, God, and everybody else. And they discounted the future of their success.
Yeah.
And it died in the desert. And I don't want anybody's future to die. I've always had a belief in me that my children's children is going to be blessed. I'm a firm believer that my grandkids' grandkids are going to be more blessed than am I. Yeah. I am. Why? Because my faith has this impossible idea that my generation that's coming from me is going to be super blessed.
Right.
They're going to be super wise. They're going to have all the capacity to succeed because I'm treading that water of foundational faith in this family that's going to mark them forever. My children are going to be successful. What they touch, are they going to prosper? Who they are as people are going to be stable and healthy. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be perfect. None of them are going to be perfect. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for this intention of the impossible faith to rise up in all of us mm-hmm. because I believe we're all limited. We all have these limits in us.
Yeah.
We all, I mean, talk to anybody. You're like, okay, well, I really would like to do this, but I know I can't. I really would love to. Yeah. Okay, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, why not? We're at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. It's a large church.
Yeah.
It's a large church because implanted in the rock long ago was this ability to believe the impossible.
Yeah.
Can we believe that the Inland Empire shall be saved?
Yeah.
Can we believe all people need to come to Christ? Can we believe our altars can be filled? Can we believe this next journey, everyone at the church is going to be discipled?
Yeah.
Can I say, yes, I'm going to engage not just in all the SBTs I have or all the mentors I have, that everybody is forming Christ in someone? Yeah. Can I believe we can have thousands upon tens of thousands of individuals being discipled?
Yeah.
That's the impossibility that I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's possible, but we have to believe it. We have to own it.
Yeah.
We have to engage. It's not just good for a podcast. It's good for me.
Yeah.
I'm looking for people that need that engagement. I'm looking for people that need that time, effort, and energy. And this is why people don't disciple, because it's dirty work. It's hard work.
Yeah.
It's hard work to go to your neighbor and say, hey, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
How can I help you? What do you need from me? And they start asking things.
Yeah.
And then, well, I didn't expect all that. Well, that's where God's going to put a demand on us. How bad do we want to connect with them?
Yeah.
How bad do we want to form Christ in them?
Yeah.
What's our mission? And I believe this faith accounts for the impossibility is where the church is at currently.
Mm-hmm.
We could look at all the crisis. I could say a demographic like 1% of the church disciples, and I could turn that around. It could be a faith statement to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then our church is going to do 2% mm-hmm. or I'm going to start doing 5%
mm-hmm.
or our church is going to do 100%.
Yeah.
Whatever it is,
yeah.
we have to believe that because if we don't, we're going to stay where we're at.
Would you agree that it's more of a lifestyle than a thing you go do once?
Okay.
Right? You can't just like, oh, I discipled
someone
once. People
ask me this all the time. What do you do in the back? Here's what I do in the back. It's connection.
Yeah.
I welcome them to the family of God and introduce them to the family.
Right.
When we have that mindset, it's not the book, it's not the principles, it's not the scriptures, all that matters.
Yeah.
It's the connection. Hey, this is Steve. He wants to get to know you. I know it's a little scary meeting people.
Yeah.
But he's your friend. Actually, he wants to love you to life and not judge you mm-hmm. to death.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to embrace encouragement and hope and help to you. Yeah. By the way, you need it.
Right.
You don't know you need it, but you do need it.
Yeah.
And Steve is here to bring that to you. He's a friend to you.
Yeah.
He's going to meet with you. He's going to engage in conversations. He's not going to step you aside. And we at The Rock, we say this all the time, we have a place for you. And we mean it by engaging in this relationship with you. We want to engage mm-hmm. with you.
Yeah.
We want to be your friend.
Yeah.
And we want you to be our community.
That's so good. Well, I pray that you guys were encouraged today. I know I was. I'm feeling a little fired up, Pastor Joel. You got me.
Good.
Because I can lean into my weakness, and with that faith, I can believe for the impossible, which might otherwise be difficult if I only looked at, in front of my face had weaknesses, but because I can look past that with faith, that gets me really excited.
Yeah, I mean, my encouragement to people that are listening to this, and I'll end with this, is you could always look at what you don't have. It's easy to. It's easy to look at and diminish ourselves and our lack thereof. But my challenge to you in this podcast is look into what God has. And when you look deep into what he says and how he says it, that mindset and that heart will change because he's a God that doesn't leave us fatherless.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God that will take us to the next level and beyond. And he's the God of generations because his book is how it lasted all these things and the success of the Bible, even the Bible itself, is a very successful book. But it's not a book, it's a people. You have to believe your God's. And I make an invitation to you. If you don't know him, you get to know him. I want to do something different on this podcast. We don't necessarily do. We should, but we don't do it. And I say we should. I need to. I want you to lead people to the Lord that are listening to this that don't know him, Antonio, because that's where it all starts.
Right.
It starts right there.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know you, God. And I need to know you in power. I need to know you in faith. And right now, I am struggling. So can you lead people to the Lord on this podcast?
Well, yeah, I think so. What that means is we have to recognize that we need Jesus. And so if you're listening today, you know, we make a lot of references assuming that people are following Jesus and that they serve God as their savior. But today, if you don't know God, you know, you came across the podcast in a different way or whatever, but you have yet to really receive Jesus as your savior. We want to make that available today. Again, you're not born again. You're not Christian. You don't follow Jesus because you're listening to a spiritual podcast, because you've attended church before. None of those reasons mean that you are a follower of Jesus. So today what we want to do is make that available for you. The invitation is always open, but today the specific invitation for you is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's as simple as putting your faith in him. So I'll lead us in a prayer. And really the prayer, there's nothing magic to it, but what it is it's words. It's a way to verbalize what we want to believe in our heart. In Rome, the book of Romans, in the Bible, it talks about if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, then you shall be saved. We want you to be saved. We want a life that follows Jesus, not just is saving you from eternity in hell, which is away from God, but getting to be with him, but also life on this earth. As long as you have breath in your lungs on this earth, you are a follower of Jesus. So just go ahead and repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I come to you today.
I come to you today.
As a sinner that needs a Savior.
As a sinner that needs a Savior.
I receive. Your gift of salvation.
Your gift of salvation.
I believe. That you came to earth. That you died.
That you died.
That you rose again.
Rose again.
Saving me forevermore.
Saving me forevermore.
I believe. That I am born again.
I'm born again.
And I'm headed for heaven.
I'm headed for heaven.
Denying my place in hell.
Denying my place in hell.
Fill me now. With your Holy Spirit.
With your Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
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 If you prayed that prayer and you've made Jesus your Lord, you're ever in the area of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, Southern California or Inland Empire, we engage in you. We want you to be a part of this vibrant family.
Yeah.
Come, we'll sit down with you, we'll impart grace to you, and you'll welcome to the family of God. God bless you.
God bless you. Really, if we'd love to know that. You know, comment below. Comment, like, and maybe you're not anywhere nearby. Find a church. Find a local church. Get plugged in. If they're preaching the Bible, man, go there. If you need some help finding a church, reach out to us. We'll find out where you are, and we can surely recommend a place for you to get connected and do this discipleship thing we're talking about. Thank you so much for Pastor Joel for taking the time. We love you guys. Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. God bless you.
God bless you.